It's always good to be in the house of God with Piney Grove Presbyterian Baptist Church. last night, Elder Paul Evans opened the service by enumerating many of the covenants of the Bible, and Elder Marty Smith then followed by specifically addressing David's covenant, the covenant God made with David. And he quoted Isaiah 55, we'll just touch verse number 1, where Isaiah, communicating to Israel and to us, a message from God. "However one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, yea, come buy wine, milk, without money and without price." Brother Marty emphasized the word "come," and that it's a bidding from God that, as Jesus Christ says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This morning, I'd like to speak to you a little bit out of Psalm number 63 with those messages as a backdrop. This psalm could be titled in a couple different ways. One is David's wilderness prayer, or thirst in the wilderness. David, different theologians have different ideas about what the events were around this psalm. I sort of favor the idea that this was something David wrote either during or immediately after Saul had pursued him into the wilderness. And he was in a very, very barren area of the country. So to get right to it, Psalm 63, verse number 1, the psalmist David says, "O God," he starts off with, "O God." He is declaring that God is the sovereign, eternal, holy God. Amen. Then he says concerning this God, "O God, thou art my God." That means that David is declaring that the God knows him and that he knows God. And he is aware of the power, the majesty, and the glory of God. And he's confident that his God is his shepherd. And that shepherd would lead him to the waters, will lead him to nourishment, and will provide for him and heal him and comfort him and deliver him. And when it comes time to do battle, this is the same God that David said, "He teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight." His God was everything to him. We need to reflect upon that this morning, that God is everything to us. So he says, "O God, thou art my God." So dependent upon this God was David that he says, "Early will I seek thee." The first thing before my coffee, before anything happens, I will seek thee, Lord. I will bow on my knees and call out to my God before I do anything first in the mornings. "Early will I seek thee." Then he says, "My soul thirsteth for thee." Now, thirst. Most of you in here know something about farming. As a boy, I worked in the farmer's fields. I picked peas, I picked corn, I picked all kinds of vegetables. I cropped tobacco for several years, and the temperature would be up in the high 90s, and you're down in between those stalks, and it's hot, and you get dry, and the old farmer would come out there a little while on his tractor and bring a big jug of cool water. Nothing more refreshing than a good cool drink of water when you're dry and you're thirsty. David uses that kind of analogy to let us know what it means to come to the Lord and be refreshed. Begin to get weak, despair sets in, anguish comes upon us, fear sets upon us like a cloud, and then my God appears on the scene and gives me a cool drink of his water. He says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul, it thirsteth for thee, my longeth for thee, in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. Well, now, he was in a place where there was no water. It was a dry place. There was nothing there. And I'm going to cut this short and let you do a little homework on your own. Water in the Bible is often analogous to the Spirit. Okay? Now, so I hope you trust me, and I hope you go do your homework. So I want to go directly. Now, if you believe me, we'll go directly to the heart of my message. Everybody believe me this morning?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go then to John chapter 4, very quickly. John chapter 4. The text opens, John 4 and verse 1, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than they, though Jesus baptized not himself, but his disciples did. Verse number 3, he says, he left Judea and departed and again into Galilee. And listen to this. This is it. And he must needs go through Samaria. There was a need that Jesus Christ felt to go through Samaria. Long story short, there were some thirsty folks in Samaria. Very thirsty. We'll look at it just very briefly. I want you to follow me now. Stay with me. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Now he knew that well was there. But I'm going to tell you something, that Jesus wasn't going there just to see that well. He knew all about that well. He knew when it was dug. He knew everything about it. But there was something that was going to occur at that well that he knew. Someone was going to arrive at that well that he knew about. And by the way, that person would know him, but just didn't know his name. Okay. Jacob's well is well. In verse number 7, here's the woman. I'm amazed. I'm amazed at how the Lord handles things. If the Lord had come asked me, Lord, JC, how would you like for me to design this event? I wouldn't have put it together like this, I can tell you that. But he didn't ask me, and he did it better than anything I could imagine. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Now the problem with that was Jesus was a Jew, and she was a Samaritan. The Jews and the Samaritans did not get along. They didn't like each other. They avoided each other. As a matter of fact, they even despised each other. But this woman had come to that well because she needed water. The problem is she just didn't know which water she needed. But the Lord's going to introduce her and give her a drink of water that's going to absolutely astonish this woman and propel her into evangelical service.
Yes.
Now watch this. Then for his disciples were gone away into the city, and by the way, left him by himself. Okay. Then saith the woman of Samaria to him, how is it that thou being a Jew askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans? Jesus Christ was not interested in their relationship with each other. He was not interested in the Jew and the Samaritan relationship because he came to save what? His people from their sins. He had a purpose in it, and he has a people in every nation, kindred, tongue, and family. Okay? And here was one. Now, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now, he's going to explain this as this goes through. Now, let's picture yourself as that Samaritan woman. What in the world is living water? What does that mean? Well, he's going to explain it to her a little bit at a time.
and a way that she could remember it and we can remember it.
Now watch this. The woman saith to him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. She's thinking in natural terms, and much of modern religion thinks in natural terms. We need to promote the spiritual terms. All right. The woman saith to him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep, from whence thou hast thou that living water. Say, where are you going to get the water? There's no water anywhere else around here, and the water in this well is way down there, and you don't have a pot to draw it in. So how are you going to give me water? Well, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again, that water out of Jacob's well. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Now, never thirst. That means once you taste this water, it's gonna be so satisfying and so nourishing to you that you won't need anymore. I'm going to give you everything that you need. Now watch this. But the water that I shall give unto him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That means that when you get this taste of water, it's going to satisfy you as long as you live, and it's going to be with you even after you're dead. Okay. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water. I need some of this water. I never heard of that. That sounds like good water. I need some of this water. Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She's still speaking in natural terms. Jesus said to her, go call thy husband and come hither. Now, we're not going to read all of this for the sake of time, but she's come to find out she's had many husbands. And the Lord tells her, yeah, I know all about you. I know how many husbands you had, and the one that you're with now is not your husband either. Can you imagine that woman's feelings? He knows everything there is about me. It's like he's seeing right through me. He knows all about me, and he's still standing here talking to me. He's still letting me be close to him. He knows everything about him. Verse number 19, the woman saith to him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Well, she got that right. But she's about to find out that this is the ultimate unique prophet. There's not another one like him. She says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. You say that we ought to worship in Jerusalem. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. So he's telling what's going to happen some years in the future. Now he says, you know not what. I like the way the Lord is very plain. And the Samaritans had been confused all the way back to the Old Testament time when the nation divided, and Jeroboam took a part of the nation, the northern nation Israel, and he brought in gods and says, these be the gods that brought our fathers out of Egypt. And they began to worship in idolatry, but there were still some there that had a little bit of truth in them, but they were all mixed up and they couldn't sort out the truth. Verse 23, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. Now listen now, she's getting the first sip of this water. Ready? God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The spirit is vital for worship. Okay. The woman saith to him, I know that Messiah is coming. Now here she's going to reveal, I got a little bit of truth in me. I know just a little bit. She says, we know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, which is the same word, the anointed, both Messiah and Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. You can tell now her mind is working. Well, he's told me everything about me. He knows all about me. Everything I do that I've done, he knows all about that. She saith unto him, Jesus saith unto her, now here's it. This is the big drink, buddy. I mean, he is about to pour this water out upon her. He says, I that speak unto thee am he. I am the Messiah. It's me. That woman at that time, when she drank, of the Spirit at that moment, she knew that this is the Messiah. The reason I know that, because she then turned and ran with that outpouring of the Spirit within her home to the men of that city and said, come and see a man that has told me all things that I have done. Is not this the Christ? And they came, they wanted to drink that water as well. And so they went running out there, and when they saw him, they told the woman, says, now we believe, not because of what you said, but we have seen him ourselves. We have come to the well and we've drank ourselves. Now, just quickly, Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, there was 120 of the children of God gathered together, waiting for the promise of the Lord. And the promise to them was that something would be poured out upon them on that day. And what do you pour out? You pour out water. And when you pour out water in this context, you're pouring out the Spirit of God. Okay? Let's see how this is poured out real quick. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came the sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues as it was unto fire, and it sat upon them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, their glass was full of this spiritual water. So full of the spiritual water that those men began to preach Jesus Christ with such power that they thought that they were drunk. I mean, those men were lathered up. They were declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ with such power that those who saw them assumed that they were drunk. But Peter stood up and said, no, they're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. As if it's a good thing it didn't happen at 3 o'clock. Now listen to this, verse number 17, skipping down here. And it shall come to pass, Peter's preaching now, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. That means I'm going to take my Spirit and I'm going to pour it out, and I'm going to nourish the thirsty hearts for the Spirit of God. I'm going to fill them with my Spirit and make them rejoice and make them glad. Verse number 33. Therefore, Peter's still preaching. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth. This is like a waterfall that sheds forth, that runs off of a mountain and down the side of a mountain. He hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. You hear the roar of the rushing water that's filling those that have assembled that day. Well, when they heard it, there was 3,000 added that day to the church of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God filled them. They rejoiced, and they went home and they told others about what they had seen. And if you continue to read in the book of Acts, chapter after chapter, the number was multiplied. The word was multiplied. It grew and prospered. My point is that today we need to come to the place like the Samaritans did when the woman went into town and says, come and see a man. We need to come and see the man. Yes. We need to come to a place where he is pouring out that water that we might be nourished, we might be comforted, we might be strengthened. And then as the Lord told Legion, you take this water that I've just given you, you go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and has had compassion upon thee. The way we're going to get out of this mess in our country is for folks to take what they have drank and go home and tell their friends and their family about it. May God bless you, is my prayer. Amen.